One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hello everyone, Charles Watts here. Welcome back to Inside Arsenal. It is Thursday. We are getting towards the weekend. Finally, this week has been dragging. Well, it has been for me. I don't know about you guys. It feels like it's been taking forever to get to this weekend as we wait nervously, fingers crossed, hoping beyond hope for a bit of a miracle between now and the end of the season. But you never know. Stranger things have happened. Even though I've spent the whole week basically saying it's done and dusted and I don't think City are going to drop points, you just never know, I suppose. So, yeah, it's been quite a quiet week, actually. The last couple of weeks have. It's been weird after all the craziness following Dubai, basically, and post-international break where it was just a game that felt like every other day for Arsenal. The last couple of weeks have been really, really quiet and strange. And like I said, it's just been dragging, waiting to get to the weekend. And next week's going to be no different. There are going to be some midweek games that Arsenal are definitely going to be keeping an eye on, most notably the one at Spurs. But from an Arsenal point of view, it is just weekend to weekend, trying to do your best to get prepared for the next game. And that next game for Arsenal is, of course, on Sunday, that huge match at Manchester United, 24 hours after Manchester City will have played at Fulham. So Arsenal going second this weekend. They'll know what has happened with the City game. They'll either be reacting to some potentially huge drop points from Manchester City, or they'll be doing their best to keep pace for Man City, who will move top of the table with a win at Craven Cottage. A few things to talk about today. Got plenty of questions and comments from you guys, which will get involved in the second half of the show. We can talk about Wojciech Szczesny, who's in the headlines at the moment about potential return to Arsenal. It's something we've spoken about on this channel, isn't it, recently, when looking at potential replacements for Aaron Ramsdale if stroke when Ramsdale goes this summer. Arsenal are going to be on the lookout for a new number two. We've spoken about Szczesny and how, certainly in my mind, I think he'd be the absolute perfect candidate to come back in. He has now, he's been linked with a possible return to Arsenal, although money seems to be potentially blocking that return, but we'll talk about that. Bukayo Saka and William Saliba, they are both up for the Premier League Young Player of the Year award. Do think that criteria needs to change in terms of who qualifies for that award. Haaland, for example, is up for that as well. So we'll talk about that. Got to speak about the Champions League game. Just craziness last night. Real Madrid doing classic Real Madrid things as well. But we'll start with Wojciech Szczesny, shall we? Who, as I said, I've mentioned as a potential candidate for the Arsenal number two spot next season quite a few times. I just think he fits what I think, anyway, Arsenal need for that number two when Ramsdale goes. I don't think you can get into a situation of having, you know, another sort of, young-ish stroke goalkeeper, sort of mid-20s, unless they are very, very happy being number two. You know, Arsenal had Matt Turner for a season, but very quickly, he became unhappy in being number two and ended up looking for a move elsewhere. And I think if you do sign a goalkeeper of that sort of age who's going to come in and just play understudy to David Raya, then it's going to be Groundhog Day pretty much every other season. If that keeper's going to want to move on, you're going to have to replace another one. So it feels to me like kind of what Spurs have done with Fraser Forster, that type of signing is what Arsenal should be looking at for the goalkeeper. Now, Simon Collins, a good friend of mine at The Standard, is reporting this morning that Szczesny is a potential candidate for that role, and there have been discussions going on. There's also been, that's been coming from elsewhere as well in the last week or so, which is an interesting story. And as I said, I think it fits the bill because of his age, because of where he is in his career. He's got a year left on his deal at Juventus. He's still number one at Juventus, but there is talk that they're looking to bring in a new goalkeeper to be number one for next season. He's in his sort of mid-30s. His international career is beginning to wind down. He would feel like someone potentially who, while obviously he'd prefer to be playing week in, week out, might not mind at the tail end of his career coming back to a club that he loves, that he knows very well, to work under a manager or a person that he knows very well, Mikel Arteta. And it might just calm the goalkeeping situation down a little bit. And he's also very, very good still. And, you know, if something were to happen to David Raya, or you want to do your rotation and cup competitions, you've still got a very good goalkeeper who can come in. So in many ways, I just think he's perfect for it, Szczesny. But the issue is, or seems to be the issue is, that Simon certainly reported in The Standard, is the money. He's on big money, obviously, at Juventus. I think it's about 100 grand a week after tax. Whether that's something Arsenal would be willing to go for the new number two, you know, is probably debatable. He's homegrown. He qualifies for a homegrown play spot, though, which I think is going to be definitely what Arsenal are looking for when it comes to bringing in a new goalkeeper. And he would fit the bill in terms of that. So that would be another potential bonus. But and I just think the fact that he is just such an Arsenal man as well, it just feels like a really good move. I think it'd be a really popular move as well. And obviously, you don't want to sign someone just because it's going to be a popular move, and you don't want your sort of heart to rule your head in those sort of situations. But he is a very good goalkeeper still. I think he would be perfect for this number two role. So we'll wait and see if that happens. But yeah, there's going to be an on-running thing, isn't it? The goalkeeper situation between now and the end of the season. But let me get your thoughts on it. You know, do you, like me, think Szczesny would be perfect? Or do you think probably going to be too expensive, too costly, and they should be looking elsewhere for that number two goalkeeper spot? If, again, when, because I do think it will happen, Aaron Ramsdale departs in the summer. Let me know in the comments below. Actually, before I move on from this, also just to flag, myself and James Benjar are going to be sitting down for Inside Arsenal Extra Time a little bit later on today. You haven't got much time because by the time this comes out, I think we're sort of due to sit down and start talking at about 12:30 p.m. UK time. So you might have about an hour, hour and a half. So whoever's watching this video early and you want to get involved in Inside Arsenal Extra Time, then you know what to do. Start in the comments below with Extra Time. Give me a question, your comment, your opinion, and me and James will discuss some of them in the show a little bit later on today. Okay, moving on to some reports out of Spain. Latest on Zubimendi, a player we know Arsenal are tracking and have been tracking for a fair while now, a midfielder they absolutely like. Latest on him coming out of Spain is quite interesting, that Deco, the Barcelona sporting director, has met with Zubimendi's agents, talking about a potential summer move. Reports from the papers over in Spain say that has angered Real Sociedad, and they said, look, if you want to buy him, you've got to pay your release clause. There's no point talking to them. The only way you're going to sign Zubimendi is if you trigger his release clause, which it sounds like Barcelona are probably going to struggle to do. We all know about Barcelona's financial issues. So those are the latest reports in Spain. Those reports also suggest that Arsenal still are the sort of right at the head of the queue in terms of Zubimendi, if, and it still remains a big if, he goes, because you can trigger his release clause. You know, it's there. Everyone knows about it. And it's not that expensive either in modern day football anyway, around the 60 million euro mark. So that is, you know, it's a very achievable release clause, especially for a club like Arsenal. But Zubimendi is very, very happy at Real Sociedad as well, as we all know, you know, and he loves that club and he's not overly keen on leaving, or hasn't been overly keen on leaving. So he's going to need to change that stance should a move happen. But certainly the latest out of Spain is that Barcelona are looking unlikely to be able to trigger that release clause. So even though they want him, that it still seems like Arsenal and Bayern Munich potentially are favourites for him. But there's also that sort of lingering link that he wants to play for Xavi Alonso, and he might just wait and see what Alonso does in a year's time. And so he could well stay at Real Sociedad. But that's the very latest on Zubimendi. Moving on quickly, if you want to vote for the Premier League Young Player of the Year, which I mentioned at the start of the show, that Saliba and Saka are up for, you can just go. I've retweeted the Premier League story on it, so you can find it on my social media. And the link, if you click on that, you can go there and the link is embedded in that story where you can vote. So the winner is chosen, sort of combination between the panel who are choosing it, but also the votes from the general public as well. So you can vote for Saliba and Saka. Foden up for it, Isaac up for it, Haaland, Mainu, Palmer, Udogi are up for it as well. It seems to be mad how that can be the list for the young Premier League player of the year. I know they're young still. You know what, Haaland's 23, Foden must be 23 as well. You know, Saka and Saliba, you know, they're not old, but I still look at that and think someone like Mainu, I get, even Palmer, I get, you know, they are very young. It's a start, you know, they've just started playing regular first team football really in the Premier League. So I think those guys qualify. Udogi as well, potentially. But I think when you're just a absolute, you know, seasoned Premier League player now, like a Haaland, like even a Saka and Saliba to some respects as well. I just think, can you really qualify for a young player of the year? I really feel like they need to change the criteria somehow to make it more of a young player of the year, more than a senior established player of the year vote. Because you imagine most of these are going to be up for Premier League player of the season as well when those are announced. So yeah. But if you do want to vote, as I said, get over to my social media or go to thepremierleague.com and you can vote from that. It's also up on arsenal.com as well.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Right, before I get onto your questions and comments, what a night, what drama in the Champions League last night. I did laugh. It's very hard not to laugh at Harry Kane for what's happened for him this season. I mean, it's unbelievable, really. What, only got about 4 million goals he scored for Bayern Munich this season, and yet they're still going to have their first trophyless season in about 859 years. It feels like, and he must have thought it was that they were going to make the final at Wembley. He was going to have that big final against Dortmund at Wembley. 1-0 up, Bayern with 2 minutes to go, and somehow Madrid, as they always do in that competition, turn it round. They never stop trying, they never stop believing. And Hossolu, of all players, a player on loan from the Spanish second division who we know from poor spells with Newcastle and Stoke City, pops up with two goals in the last 2 minutes to win it for Real Madrid. Harry Kane had gone off by that point. Tuchel had taken him off and had to watch from the touchline as Real Madrid turned it round. And then you had that very controversial moment late on when the linesman decided to raise his flag. And when it looked like Bayern Munich had equalised, the lino had raised his flag. So it couldn't go to VAR. He looked onside in the replays. We'll never know now. But yeah, just an amazing night of Champions League football. And Real Madrid once again in the final at Wembley. First time they've ever had a Champions League final at Wembley, Real Madrid, you know, which is mad when you think of how many finals they've been in. This will be the first one at Wembley for them. And they're going to go into it as huge favourites, obviously, against Dortmund. But yeah, for Bayern Munich, it was a miserable, heartbreaking night. And it was for Harry Kane as well. I watched that, you know, to be honest, I mean, Munich were really unlucky. They played so, so well, I thought, over the two legs, Munich. And you know, when people was having a go at Arsenal for getting beaten by Munich, it just made me laugh. You know, they're a very good team. Yes, they've had a poor season in the or poorish season by their standards in the Bundesliga, but also Leverkusen have just had an absolute worldy season. And this Munich team is still a very, very good team. And they showed it over the two legs last night. I have to admit, though, watching it both legs, I just thought Arsenal could have beaten both of these teams. So I was watching it with a little bit of a tinge of regret. But yeah, amazing night at Champions League football. And it's Madrid versus Dortmund in the final. Well, moving on to some of your questions and comments before we wrap this up. I've got quite a few of these today. Ash here says, top tier content as always, Charles. Thank you very much. Have you seen the reported news that Arsenal have set a date and time for their potential parade if they do go on and win the title? I honestly can't bring myself to think about it more than for 5 minutes. But the fact that Arsenal are even having to make these plans for the first time in what feels like forever speaks volumes to the work Arteta and the boys have done. This is the new norm for Arteta's Arsenal. Uta Biaguna. Yes, I have seen the date and the time for it. It's going to be on the Monday after the final weekend of the season. Obviously, that has to be planned. It's not that Arsenal are counting their chickens and believe they're going to win the title. As you always see these sort of stories, don't you, before FA Cup finals and things like that. And there's signs up around the streets of Islington warning of a potential parade. And everyone, all the newspapers, or certainly the websites and newspapers, put up stories about Arsenal planning, thinking they're believing they've won it already, which is obviously rubbish. It has to be planned in advance. You have to agree it with the council and stuff like that for roads to be shut and all that. It's a huge operation. So yes, Arsenal's potential parade will be on the Monday, starting at 5 o'clock, which is a nightmare for me because Mondays I'm just can't get away because I've got to do the school runs basically in the evening because my missus works till 6 o'clock. So yeah, I'm not happy about that timing, but what an amazing evening that would be in North London if it happens, but we'll have to wait and see if it does or not. Entangled Discussions 6893 says, question, well, more of a comment. I think the summer transfer strategy should revolve around increasing the composite output of the squad, which in turn raises the level of the first 11 each week. Whilst I'd be excited by Osimhen, Isak, De Jong, Bremer, Kimmich type of summer with big transfers and wages who have won big trophies, I'd prefer something more like Sesko, Williams, Estavo, Willian, Zubimendi, Diamande, Hatto, maybe both depending on sales. It would be expensive, but if we do averagely well selling and invest 150 200 million on fees, but we'd reduce the wage bill, we would then reduce the workload on our top performers and increase their performance and make cut runs more likely to help balance the workload and minutes to bring everyone up to Arteta's standard. This would support the short-term and long-term growth in football and finance, especially if combined with the next generation of Highlanders. Excuse the long post, no worries. Yeah, I think it's a good point. I think it's an interesting one, certainly in terms of what sort of summer Arsenal should go for. Is it going to be a big hitter summer, or will it be, again, more of a sort of potential type summer, investing in potential? I think it might be a mixture, to be honest. I still think with a forward, it might well end up being, well, not so much a forward, but with an attacker, it might end up being one really sort of big headline making signing, whether that be a forward or a winger. And then I think the rest around them could well be what we've seen from Arsenal in recent years in terms of that sort of 22, 23 year old good players, but potential, you know, investing in potential. So I think it might be a little bit of a mixture of that. I just think the important thing, as you said, is just about bringing up the quality of Arteta's squad, having more players that he really, really trusts. Because it's clear from this season, isn't it, that although I think Arsenal's squad is strong, when you look at the bench, it looks very strong. There's still a lack of trust there from Arteta in some of those players. And I think that needs to change because you do need to just lessen the workload on the real sort of key, crucial members of the first team. So I think that has to be a really important part that is sort of changed this summer. Here's from Sri from New Zealand. Says, I start my mornings with your show. Love the content. Thank you very much. Says, following up from your Martin Ali comment and the untouchables in the squad, with more game time for Trossard, do you think he can be tempted out with an offer, or is he viewed as untouchable too? Look, this is a really tough one. I was thinking about this as I was putting the questions together. I think Trossard really is so close to falling in that untouchable category of the squad. I don't think he's there like a Saliba or a Saka or someone. And maybe because of his age, most importantly, if someone put big money down for Trossard in the summer, Arsenal might consider it. But he's such an important player in this team and in this squad that he is very, very close to being untouchable. I think he's shown how good he is this season, how important he is this season, how he can step up in the big, big moments with his ability in the final third. So I think he's very close to being untouchable, but maybe because of his age, that would be the one consideration that Arsenal might take into account if a really big bid came in. But you know, I think Trossard would be perfectly happy with the game time he's had this season. He's played lots and lots of games. He's starting lots of games. He's always, if he's not starting, he's always pretty much one of the first subs on, if not the first sub. So I don't think more game time really will tempt Trossard away at the moment because he's playing at one of the best clubs in the world, one of the best teams in the world right now, who are only going to get better. So I don't think someone waving sort of guaranteed first team football under his nose would really make him push for a move away. I just don't see that. I think he's very, very happy with what he's getting at Arsenal right now. Dark and Bright says, hello, Charles, watching from Houston, Texas. I do love Houston. I remember spending some great nights in the Flying Saucer in Houston when I went over there for WrestleMania in, was it 2009? Was it, right? Was it? Yeah, Shawn Michaels versus The Undertaker. Oh, what a match. What a weekend that was. Says, I believe Jesus should be cover for Saka and convince him that he can get minutes as Saka cover and as number nine. Or we can say number two in attack and one of the first names to come on. That's a good option to have. He had his best season at City as a right winger. Yeah, and that's what I was saying yesterday about Jesus. Why I just think Arsenal should not be rushing to move Jesus on. And I don't think they would be rushing to move Jesus on because I think he's still got so much to offer. Versatility, can play on both sides of the wing, absolutely can be covered for Bukayo Saka, but also on the left as well. And like you said, he can either be starting games or he can be coming on as one of the first subs to change things up front. So yeah, I agree. He would absolutely not be one of the first players that I'm looking to get out the door this summer. Tomas, is there any news regarding Xerxes? Currently playing for a modern coach under Motta with many similarities to Arteta. Could he possibly make the leap to the Arsenal system more easily than most? He looks like a technical player with almost a Harry Kane style and physique. Yeah, I mean, there's no further news on it. He's one of the players Arsenal were looking at. That was first reported by Sam Dean over at The Telegraph. He's been on this channel a few times, obviously. Sam reported that back in January that Xerxes is on the list. He'll be on the list of a lot of clubs, though, because he's doing great things for Bologna. Interestingly, it sounds like Juventus might well be looking to get Motta to replace... oh my God, I've forgotten his name. How have I forgotten the Juventus coach's name? Allegri, of course, it's Allegri. Yeah, and there's talk that Motta might be replacing Allegri at Juventus. And should that happen, then Xerxes might well follow him. So, yeah, there's no real further news on it. He's a player that Arsenal are looking at that they like, but they like a lot of forwards at the moment. And we'll wait and see which one of them they eventually opt for at the end. But, yeah, he's a very interesting talent, no doubt about it, when you look at what he can do. And finally here, one from MMDCFC8399 says, I have to agree with the idea of saving money on an out-and-out striker and maybe investing a little more in a winger who adds versatility and dynamism to our attack. I know this is fairly unrealistic, but imagine Leroy Sané playing on the left wing. With the warm form he's currently showing, I think he'd start over Martinelli and Trossard, and he has the ability to be deployed on the right flank as well. Some experience working for Arteta and City and could fit in well with a German link through Havertz. I know it's a reach, but a front three of Saka, Havertz and Sané would be feared by everyone. Other options are popping to mind, Rashford, Elise, Neto, or maybe even Sancho. Love your show all the way from Detroit, Michigan. I love seeing where everyone watches these shows from. It's great. And I went and watched Detroit FC's win last night. After reading this, I went and watched their game. Well, I watched the highlights of their game against Houston. Yeah, amazing game. Congratulations. I bet you were absolutely loving that, knocking out the reigning champions in it. What a goal that was as well. You talk about there. Drilled it into the top corner from about 30 yards. It was one that probably I shouted out when I saw it going. Unbelievable goal. So well done. Fantastic win for your boys. Congratulations to Detroit City FC. Yeah, and look, in terms of Sané, there's not really much more I can say about that. I would absolutely love to see Leroy Sané at Arsenal. I think he's a fantastic player, still got lots to give. Had a mixed season in terms of goal output, certainly for Bayern. Started off really well, then went about 20 games without a goal until he scored that banger against Real Madrid in the semi-final. But he knows Arteta, likes Arteta. The pair have worked together before. Yes, it's a reach. As you said, he's on big money. He's only got a year left on his deal, I think. So Bayern are going to have to do something when it comes to Leroy Sané. And yeah, I certainly wouldn't say no to him. It would be one hell of a potent strike force if he were to come, but maybe that is a little bit of a pipe dream. Anyway, that's it from me. Like I said, Inside Arsenal Extra Time coming a little bit later on today. If you're still watching now, then like I said, get down into the comments if you want to get involved in that, but be quick because we're recording pretty early this afternoon, but it will be still going out about 5 p.m. UK time later on today. Until then, have a fantastic Thursday, everyone. Be back very, very soon. Speak to you soon. Bye-bye.